Praise God. Thank you, Sarah. How y'all doing this morning? Amen. Y'all sound blessed. Y'all sound blessed out there. Amen. God is so good. And yes, he is. He is greatly to be praised. I just thank God for the opportunity to be here today and to worship him. And I thank God that you're here. Thank God. I thank God for corporate worship. I thank God for the opportunity for us to come together and share in the goodness of Jesus together. Amen? Yes. It's much better when we're together.
That's right.
When we're able to share together. And so I just thank God. I don't take that for granted. Right? I love being with the people of God, being in the house of the Lord. And man, God has given me a message to share today that I believe will encourage you. I'm saying that by faith. It encouraged me, but I believe it'll encourage you and inspire you. Somebody say this word. Say this word with me. Purpose.
Purpose.
I love to hear that word. That's what we're talking about today. And the theme of last Sunday and this Sunday has been, what's next? Y'all remember? What's next? And today I want to talk about purpose. What's next for you? What's next for me? What is my purpose? It's a question that millions of people ask every single day. So I want to talk about that, and I believe, and prayerfully, I believe that today will be, in a sense, a starting point or a restarting point for many of you to ignite that flame again, to ignite that spark again, to move forward with purpose in 2020. Amen. So what's next? You know, God really spoke to me. He dealt with me. He's been dealing with me all year, but he really dealt with me over the last few months about dreaming again. And in some ways, God was showing me that I had stopped dreaming. Not in a sense where, you know, just like, okay, I'm just done, I give up, and not in a sense like that, but just taking that, having that fire to continue to dream and to continue to look forward to things in the future. Not that it wasn't there, but just not pressing for it like I should. Anybody understand what I'm saying? And so God is saying, you need to dream again. And so that's why I say it's inspired me, and I believe it'll inspire you today, because I believe that you need to dream again. That's what God is saying to us. You must dream again. Amen? How many of you want to make a difference? I mean, really, how many of you want to make a difference? You understand what I'm asking? See, you're making a difference. Means that you're using what you have, your talent, your ability, your knowledge, your resource, your wherewithal to change something in someone else's life for the better.
All right.
Making a difference, amen? And I do too. I want to make a difference. And most importantly, God wants us to make a difference.
Yes.
He wants us to make a difference. You guys ever heard of the movie? I haven't even seen the whole movie. I've seen bits and pieces of it. There's a movie out called The Bucket List. Anybody ever seen that movie, The Bucket List? Or you know about it? You know, it's a movie that was done a few years back, and it's basically about two men or some guys, and they end up having one of them comes up with an idea of making this list of things that they want to do before they die, right? right? And so then one of the guys is wealthy and has enough resources, where they're able to pull this thing off. And so they go on and do it. Again, I haven't seen the entire movie, but the premise of the movie is that they decided, hey, I realize I don't have enough time left, and so there's some things that I want to do in my life that I want to achieve some goals that I want to achieve before I kick the bucket, right? And I was thinking about that, you know, and many people come up with, I actually kind of wrote a little bucket list. It sure got quiet in the church real quick. I actually wrote a little list, and I was writing things down. God was bringing back to my remembrance things that he called me to do for the ministry. And I started writing those things down and actually going back and looking at some things that I had already written down. And I realized, man, I got some work to do. I got some work to do. But I got this list. And honestly, I want to encourage each and every one of you, start making a list. Make a list. See, it's not just about you wanting to do something, you know, go skydiving. You know, it's not just about that. You know, people put all kinds of stuff on their list. So, okay, I want to go skydiving. I want to go bungee jumping. I want to do this and do that. You know, those are all, I guess, cool for somebody. But at the end of the day, did it make a difference? Did it make a difference in somebody's life? And that's what we're talking about, making. What's on your list? Do you even have a list? So God is saying, dream. Dream again. I must got y'all attention this morning. You know, we have a true and living God who is always speaking to us. He's always wanting to talk to us and communicate to us. And some of you might say, well, I don't hear God. Well, God doesn't have a speaking problem. We have a hearing problem. See, God is always speaking. He's always talking. He's always trying to communicate to his people. He doesn't have the problem. We often have the problem. You know, and or maybe it's not that we don't hear him. Maybe we're just not looking. We're not, we don't understand the language that he's trying to speak to us in. You want to know the language that God speaks to us in? Anybody? Yeah? The language in which God speaks to us in is in visions and dreams. Say it with me. I need to dream again.
I need to dream.
Yeah. Yeah, see, God, he speaks to us in visions and in dreams. If you have your Bibles today, in Proverbs chapter 29, verse 18, it says, where there is no vision, the people perish. Another translation of that is, where there is no revelation, people cast off restraint. In other words, when people don't have vision, when they don't have purpose, then all of a sudden they have an I don't care attitude. Sounds a lot like our society today. When you have a bunch of people in society who don't really have purpose, don't really have vision or the right vision, and so they take on a I don't care attitude, I'm just going to do whatever I do. You understand what I'm saying? Without a vision, people perish. Where there is no revelation, people cast off restraint. So you were created for purpose. You were created for significance, not just for survival. We weren't put on this earth just to be here, just to survive, just to exist. God has a purpose for each and every one of us. He purposefully created you and put you in place for such a time as this. Proverbs 29 and 18, reading out of the Message Bible, it says, if people can't see what God is doing, they stumble all over themselves. But when they attend to what he reveals, they are most blessed. See, I like reading out of the Message Bible every now and then because it kind of adds some perspective in our language today. And think about it. When people don't have vision, they're all over the place. They're doing all kinds of things. Just living life. Just you only live once, so you might as well just do everything and do whatever you want to do. And then they find out that doesn't work out too well. Doesn't work out too well for them. Doesn't work out too well for other people. And then top that off, now we got technology, you know, and people still want to climb mountains and get on tall buildings and stuff with the cell phone. I heard a story about a young man who I think just graduated medical school, went and got and climbed up on top of a mountain and went to take a picture on the mountain, a selfie, fell off the mountain. That's it. That's it. Tragic. You gotta live with purpose. I'm not getting on that mountain. I got a list. I got too much stuff to do. It's some folks need me, right? I gotta get back home, right? You know, what am I saying? Why am I bringing all this up? See, when you live with purpose, when you have purpose attached to you, you begin to conduct yourself in a way and in a manner differently than when you have no purpose. You make better decisions when you have purpose. So God is saying to us, we need to dream again. Without vision, people perish. In the 126th Psalm, it reads, when the Lord restored the fortunes of Zion, that's a type of the church. When the Lord restored the fortunes of Zion, we were like those who dreamed. Our mouths were filled with laughter, our tongues with songs of joy. See, when you have purpose, when you are moving in vision, when you are focused, then it brings a certain joy. It brings a certain energy. It brings a certain, just, you have a sense of purpose, and it's like, man, can't nobody take you off of it. There's joy. Amen? When you're walking with purpose. Many people don't have joy, don't feel joy. A lot of times it's because they're not walking with purpose. And the best purpose and the only way you can get true purpose out of life is being walking with Jesus. See, I find that when I'm not walking, see, there's many people that are not walking in purpose, and really what they are the walking dead. See, so without a vision, the people perish. See, it's not just a physical death, but there's a spiritual death where people are walking around dead. See, vision gives you purpose. Vision gives you life. It gives you joy on the inside. It gives you a drive and a desire to keep going, to keep moving on. What the enemy has been trying to do is he's been trying to steal your purpose. Because he realizes that if he can do that, if he can get you off of that purpose, then he can just keep you in a place where you're walking in mediocrity and you're just like a zombie, the walking dead. And what God wants to do is wake you up today. Say, dream again. If you're already woke, praise God. That's a good thing. Amen. Yeah. Wake up. Folks around here talking about they woke and just as dead and asleep. When the Lord restored the fortunes of Zion, we were like those who dreamed, who had vision. Our mouths were filled with laughter, our tongues with songs of joy. This is what God do. This is what God do. It's how he talks to us, with visions and dreams. Remember when the Holy Spirit came down, like Jesus promised? When the Holy Spirit came down, he promised that the Holy Spirit, the helper, would come. And the first thing that happened in that outpouring of the church was the fulfillment of prophecy that we were going to dream dreams, that we were going to prophesy and have visions. This is what the church does. It's what we do. We're supposed to dream. We're supposed to have visions. God is wanting to speak to us and give us new ideas, give us vision so that we can go forth with purpose. Not so that we can just thrive and just exist in life. So that we can go forward in purpose. So this is what we do. When we're connected with our living God, we dream again. So get that list out. Start writing. Well, that's my introduction. That's the introduction. Today I want to talk about five different people types. And if I don't, what I want you to get most importantly today is that you have purpose. That's what I really want you to walk away with today, is that you have purpose. But there's five different people types, and if you're taking notes, this would be a great time to jot some of those down. One who has no dream, that's one person. Then there's another who has a wrong dream. Then there's a person who has a dream, but it's gone stale. And then you have a person who has a vague dream. And then there's a person that has the God dream, right? All right, so we're going to cover those. In Jeremiah chapter 33, verse 3, it says, "Call to me, and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things which you do not know." In other words, what God is saying, he's actually begging for us to get close to him, to call out to him, to inquire from him about him and what he desires and what he wants. And he's saying, call to me, and I will answer you, and I will show you great and mighty things. In other words, I will give you revelation. I will give you vision. You don't know what to do. I don't know what to do. I don't know how, the next step and where to go. Call to me, he says. And I will show you great and mighty things which you do not know. So there's the first type of person that doesn't have a dream. God is saying, call to him. He'll give it to you. He'll give it to you. Some of you are saying, well, Pastor, I don't have a dream. That's okay. The solution is to call on him. He'll give it to you. Amen? The second person is a wrong dream. Now, this is not talking about a bad dream or even a sinful dream. And it might even be a good dream, but it's just not from God. Or it just could be that there is nothing remotely connected to God in that dream. You understand what I'm saying? There are many people who are wanting to do good things. There's many people who are not even in the church. When I say in the church, I'm not just talking about being a member of somebody's church, but they're not saved. They're not a part of the body of Christ, right? There are many people who have a desire to do good things. It may be a good idea. Maybe a good thing. They may even be achieving good things as they follow through on that. But the truth of the matter is, if God is not in it, then they're truly not walking out the greatest potential that God has for them. You understand what I'm saying? There's something greater that God could be doing through that person. So, you have someone who has a wrong dream. It may not be a bad idea. It's just that God is not in it. Now, God doesn't mind you pursuing things, right? Maybe you have a dream or an idea or something you want to do. God doesn't, he doesn't mind you doing that. But God has so much for you. He has so much more for you. Just take that next step and call out to the Lord and find out, how can I connect with God in a way and make this, even if I need to kind of tweak what I'm doing to make sure that God approves and he's in it and he's involved in the process. Amen. Paul said in Acts 20 and 24, however, I consider my life worth nothing to me if only I may finish the race and complete the task the Lord Jesus has given me. In other words, even if I got a lot of stuff going for me, I consider it nothing if I'm not first following through on the purpose that God has placed in my life. That is where his heart was. Don't you know that pleases the heart of God? Don't you know God can, he can work with that? That's something that he can work with. Amen. So Paul, he realized, hey man, I need to get on God's program. Paul is saying that I have found the greatest joy in my life by pursuing what God wants for me. Not just what I want for myself, but what God wants for me. See, I hear the story over and over and over again of people who have great resources and they do great things, but at the end of the day, they still feel empty. They still don't feel fulfilled like they anticipated, like they thought they would. Well, that's because God wasn't in it. They may have had a good idea. They may have helped a lot of people. But the most success that you will ever achieve in life has to come through the Creator. Amen. See, when we say to God, use my house. God, use my hands. God, use my gifts. Use my resources. When we decide to leverage the things that we have for the purpose of God, we begin to have true fulfillment in our lives. True fulfillment. Oh, whatever. You know, there's people, last week I talked about caros. I talked about gifts. I talked about the fact that everybody has some type of gift that God has given to you that ultimately can be used to minister to humanity. Everybody has that. Some of us, we got to dig deep. But it's there. Just got to get closer to God. Amen? And so God wants to use those gifts for his glory. He gave them to you. Really, at the end of the day, we're just stewards of them. We're stewards of them. You know, there's people who I hear, you know, in the music industry, and you can tell when there's a special gift on somebody, whether they're singing gospel or not, you can tell that person has a true gift to sing. Oh, if they would just use that for the glory of God. And I see that over. And so you'll have people with different gifts. You know, there's some people who are just good at numbers. Just good at numbers, good at calculating, good at adding things up. Then you have people who are good at, you know, they just see things in black and white. They're good at making really sound decisions and looking at the facts and saying, look, okay, we're not going to get emotions involved with this. We're going to make the right decision. I see. Or they're good. They can judge a situation and say, okay, yep, this is what we need to do. That's a gift from God. They just thought you was being bossy. You know, that's so-and-so just being, you know. Oh, there's a gift involved there in action. Right? Or you ever see somebody walk in a room and they just make the whole room light? They just lighten up the whole room. In a good way. I mean, it's just like you could have had the worst day of your life and that person walk in the room and it's like, man, it's going to be all right. Because they walked in the room. Those are gifts. God, you know, God wants you to use those abilities, those gifts, those talents for his glory. And I promise you, if you do that, you will find the greatest joy, the greatest fulfillment that you've ever experienced because you're walking in line with the purpose that God has for you. Amen. Somebody say purpose.
Purpose.
Amen. Praise God. So the next person is the person with the stale dream. They have a dream. It burned at one point. And probably through delay or some set of problems that you experienced and you didn't plan for those things, but some unforeseen problems came up and it kind of derailed what you thought was supposed to happen. And so you have taken it where that delay was it. That no was the end. And God is saying to you, that no doesn't mean never. But you've gotten in a place where that dream has become stale. I have to admit, there are some things in my life, some things that God has put on my list, amen? Some things that I desire to do, and I believe they come from the Lord, where I've kind of let get in that category. And God said to me, hey, wake up. Wake up. You may be able to witness to that. You know, you have a dream, but you haven't really took the time to keep moving forward with that dream. Now, I'm going to give you a solution for that. This stale dream, it's still there. It's kind of flickering, but it's still there. But God wants you to get that dream back today. The way that I got my dream back flaming and going and getting hot is by prayer and fasting. Taking some time to turn off everything and get with God so that I could hear clearly what he was saying. I'm going to say this to you. One of the reasons why our dreams go stale is because we have too much of the world and not enough God. That's how our dream goes stale a lot of times. We have too much of what the world is doing, what's going on in the world, and we take our focus off of the purpose. See, Paul reminded people in ministry. He said, I remind you to fan into the flame the gift of God. Fan that flame. See, if we take our focus off that flame, then guess what? It's going to automatically shrink. If we want that flame to burn hot, if we want that flame to continue to burn, we have to continue to fan that flame. And Paul's saying, stir it up. Stir up the gift. Fan that flame. Stir it up. Can you say that with me? Stir it up. Stir it up. God wants to stir up some people in this house today. Oh, Pastor, it's not, it's too late. It's not too late. Stir it up. Stir it up. I'm telling you what. He'll show you things you never seen before. He'll show you angles and opportunities you didn't even realize you could take. The devil thought he had you blocked off. God is going to show you how to stop, sidestep them. Amen. All right, let's keep going here. The fourth person is the one that has the vague dream. They don't have clarity. The vague dream. This is the person, you have a dream, but you haven't really took the time that's needed to articulate it. You haven't taken the time to spell it out, to get clarity, to write it down. You haven't taken time to really make it clear. And better yet, and this is shocking to me, of how many people don't do this. And you say, oh, Pastor, that ain't my style. This is what I do. I'm like, look, man, don't argue with me. And argue with the word, because the word says, and I'll just say, and this is my peeve, because people don't take the time to write down their visions, their goals. They don't take time, they don't see that as valuable when it is very much so valuable. If anybody can witness that, you achieve more when you write things down. Or somebody got two hands, It's not just a natural thing. I mean, there's something that's very, something spiritual about that. When you take the time to write things down. If you don't believe me, well, the word says it. In the Bible, it says, write the vision. Make it plain on tablets. We still got, we got different tablets these days. They had, stone and wood and stuff to write on. But now we got we got paper, and we got digital tablets now, right? That still works, right? Just write it down. Write the vision and make it plain on tablets that he may, what? Sit down? Come on, somebody. See, that's the starting point. Write it down. See, some of y'all are starting to think different about that bucket list. Maybe a better word, phrase for it is a vision list, right? Vision, dream list, a dream board. Anybody ever used a dream board? You know, they do that. That's real popular now, coaching and stuff. They do that. All right, let's get our dream board out, you know. Well, there's some importance to that. Because God created us to see things, to envision things, to dream, to stretch out and run after the future. So, if your dream is vague, you need to write it down. Make it plain so that you can run when you read it. Amen? That scripture is in Habakkuk 2, verse 2. I want to encourage you as believers in Christ, as Christians, if you want a vibrant Christian life and of living a life of purpose, just get in the habit of dreaming and writing it down, and then discipline yourself to review regularly what you have written. Yes. Write it down. Yes. Be purposeful.
Yes, sir.
Get in a group, get with some other people who have some wisdom, some people that you can trust, and share with them. And I love when I'm able to get with other people who are vision-driven, purpose-driven people as well, and we begin to bounce ideas off of each other, and you know, without feeling like, you know, that person's gonna take my idea, and they feeling like I'm, you know, without any of that foolishness, but just getting together and sharing with one another. And I found that when we do that, we get stronger, we grow together, and it's just like what the Bible says: iron sharpens iron. And what's happening is you're beginning to get clarity about your vision, your goals, and your dreams. It could be something as simple as, you know, getting out of debt. Which may not be so simple for some people. But it could be something like that. It could be getting out of debt, getting yourself in a good financial situation where you're able to take care of more than just you, but you're able to bless the people that you're responsible for. And the Bible says that a good man leaves a godly inheritance to his children's children. That's a godly thing to do. Look, it's a godly, you know, it's a godly thing to prosper. How else are we going to be able to obey that scripture if we don't prosper? To prosper means that I have more than enough. It means I have what I need, plus it's beyond that, to the point to where I'm able to be a blessing to my children and the children after them. See, that's the kind of perspective and mindset that we as believers need to have. Not this mindset of scarcity and I got to use it up because otherwise, you know, then somebody else might get it. Like, what is, really? That's why we ain't got nothing. No. That's a whole nother sermon, though. All that out of being vague, yeah? Get some clarity. Write some things down. And I'm telling you, God will bless you. You know, if your vision is just about you, it's not big enough. It's too small. I want you to try again. Go back. My dad used to say that to me all the time. Son, try again. Go back. Amen. So a vague dream, yeah. We want to write those down, write those things down. And the last one is a God dream. See, a God dream is God honoring. It's going to honor God. It's putting him first. Amen. You know, there are two judgments, times of judgment in the Bible And some Christians don't even know this, but there are two types of judgment. There's the great white throne judgment, and that's dealing with salvation, if you're saved or not, right? So that's that judgment. And then the judgment seat of Christ. The judgment seat of Christ, and that judgment is going to be a time frame where God is going to judge believers on the things that we did or did not do. Right? See, I mean, yeah, you made it in, right? But what did you do with what you had when you had it while you were on the earth? What did you do with what I gave you? What did you do with the gift that I gave you? We're going to be judged on that. Salah, what's on your list? Some of us need to go back again. Look at that list. Some of us need to start a list. That's okay. Get going on that list. I want to leave you with this scripture, and then we're going to get ready to transition. We're going to get ready to close out. But there's a scripture in... and actually in one of the Gospels, in Mark chapter 8, verse 22. And the setting is Jesus, and he's ministering to a man, actually a blind man. And I'll just read the scripture. It says that they came to Bethesda, and some people brought a blind man and begged Jesus to touch him. He took the blind man by the hand and led him outside the village. When he had Look at this. He spit on the man's eyes and put his hands on him. And Jesus asked, "Do you see anything?" The man looked up. He looked up and said, "I see people. They look like trees walking around." Let me stop there for a second. Now, this man was blind, but obviously there must have been a time before when he could see, because how else would he know what a tree looked like? How else would he know what people look like, right? So at one point in his life, he could see. It goes on to say, and these words really hit me like a ton of bricks. Once more. Jesus put his hands on the man's eyes. Once more, Jesus put his hands on the man's eyes. So he didn't just do it one time. He did it a second time. See, there was one time in this man's life where he could see. And then after circumstances, after trouble, after whatever happened in his life that brought him up to the point to where he could see no more. And Jesus put his hands on the man. And he could get a little glimpse of what he thought might be the tree. It might be the people. I can kind of see what you're trying to show me today, Pastor. I can kind of see what the Lord is really trying to get through me today. But once more, he touches his eyes again. Once more, he opens his eyes. See, once more, you're needing Jesus to touch your eyes so that you can dream again, so that you can see again. Once more, Jesus put his hands on the man's eyes. And the Bible says that he saw everything clearly. God wants you to see clearly what your purpose is, the vision that he's birthed in you, years ago.
Yes.
I kind of see it, Lord, but it's kind of blurry. God wants to touch you again so you can see it with fresh eyes. The vision, the plans, the purposes, the pursuits of God and what he's called for you to do. It's not too late. Oh, man. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. So would you say that your life up to this point looks more like pursuing survival or pursuing significance? What makes you say that, Pastor? See, when we're not walking with purpose, then we spend most of our time just trying to survive. But when we walk in purpose, we are able to be a resource. And I'm going to say it this way. This is what the Lord was saying to me this morning. He was saying, people that walk in purpose naturally attract other people to them. See, a part of the growth of this church or any organization is that when people take hold of vision and take hold of purpose corporately as well as individuals, there's something that's very attractive about that. That when you begin to walk and you begin to do things with a sense of purpose, it's like a magnet, and it attracts other people to you. Why? Because people are attracted to purpose. The growth of this church is dependent on you finding your purpose. The growth of the success of your life is dependent on you finding your purpose and owning your purpose. Amen? So I talked about five types of people: the one that has the no dream, the one that has the wrong dream, the one who has the stale dream, the vague dream, and the God dream. What type of person do you think you are? These are questions, these are personal questions. These are questions I asked myself, and I'm asking you today. You don't have to answer them, but just think about them. Let us pray. Father God, I thank you for your word, and I thank you for this reminder that you're trying to get across to us today to walk with intention and purpose in our lives. And I understand there are many people in this room that are at different stages, different ages and stages in life. But the common denominator is that we all have a purpose in you. And my prayer, my heart's prayer, Lord, is that we as individuals, we as a congregation, that we recognize and have clear vision, have a clear sense of what that purpose is, so that we can walk it out intentionally. And ultimately, that you get the glory out of all of it. And we thank you, Father, for that. Thank you for once more touching our eyes, allowing us to see everything clearly. And I realize that's a process. I realize that we have to continue to trust you, because you don't always reveal every single detail at once. And you require our faith. You require us to believe in you. to trust you. And so Lord, we do that. We offer up our lives. Lord, take my resources, every single thing that I have. Lord, my gifts, my talents, my abilities, Lord, my house, my family, Lord, everything. I leave it to your disposal. And I thank you that as I seek first the kingdom of God and all his righteousness, that all the things, all the provision, all the things, the necessities, the things that's needed for my life, it'll be taken care of. And I pray this same prayer for your people, Lord, the people of God. I pray that as they lay everything down at your feet, those that have a heart that's willing, I thank you for proving yourself to them again and again and showing them that you are a true and loving Father who wants nothing but the best for his kids. And I thank you for that, Lord. And we give you all the praise and all the glory for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. And amen.